You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America, to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Awesome McGinnis, the inventor and founder of Flopshot, a new product that combines cornhole and golf. Looking forward to hearing all the details. And Austin, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me.
It certainly is our pleasure. So for starters, tell us about your invention, how it works, and how it all came about.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Mason City, Iowa. Used to play at a little nine-hole course, and growing up, I always enjoyed the after-the-round banter at the putting green. That we'd, you know, place bets, do chipping competitions, putting competitions, what have you. And you know, most all clubhouses now have kind of a bag set at the clubhouse to kind of keep people around and keep them entertained after the round. And I just kind of wanted something that would combine both of those, kind of the chipping and putting competition pastime, as well as the bags. And that's kind of how the idea came about. You know, obviously different iterations, different thoughts along the way, but eventually it came to basically it's a game that is very much like golf in the fact that the chipping surface is integral to the game board. The green component lies flat. There's only one hole, and there's actually the only really kind of key difference in my game compared to competitors is obviously that it plays flat more like real golf, but there's a net component on the back side. But what that net component does is it allows it to flip over, and that net is then basically the kickstand to the bags game, right? So in cornhole, one hole, you're throwing bags onto the board, and it has kind of a slight angle to it. So that's what the net allows it to do. And the concept really married well with being able to flip it over from a golf concept, because each involved a hole, and a two-in-one game was kind of a no-brainer compared to just a one concept golf game. And like I said, just married the idea as well. So,
and without overlapping here, what made you come up with the idea of pairing specifically cornhole and golf? I know inventors always have great stories of how they came up with their ideas, but again, what made you come up with the idea of pairing both cornhole and golf?
The concept really came, you know, we started out with a 4.25-inch cup, like an actual golf size cup, and the, you know, when you're chipping from 20, 30 feet away, it's really difficult to put it in the hole, and that's obviously where you get the most points in the game. So we actually thought of increasing the size of the cup, and when we did so, that, you know, we changed it to a 6-inch cup, which was the same size as a cornhole hole, and the placement of the hole was already in basically the same spot of cornhole. So the idea to flip it over really came once we increased the size, and just the concept of being able to flip it over and make it a 2-in-1 game for very little cost. I mean, you know, a bags board, yeah, they can run up to $150 for a really nice set, but to be able to just flip it over and put another sheet of either, you know, whatever the material is, to put another sheet down was really cost effective, and it makes it more of an appealing game for a 2-in-1 concept. So it was a really easy decision at that point once we made the cup larger.
Yeah, quite interesting details there. Now, tell us about your inventor journey. Now, how long have you been working on this project, and what were some of the struggles bringing the idea to fruition?
Yeah, that's kind of a really interesting storyline that I have, is the fact that, you know, when I first had this idea, I recall actually getting on, looking up, you know, how do I create an invention, or what companies can help me start, you know, get a patent and really record the idea. And I came across Invention Home, and I don't know if, you know, other listeners out there have ever had an idea that they've wanted to, you know, you see those commercials all the time, right? The guy you know, taking a nail to a concrete wheel, you know, a cartoon on a commercial says you have an invention, call this number. It was basically a service kind of like that. And that process really took me through, like, you know, solidifying the design as well as, you know, applying for the initial provisional patent. But what that company also did was put me out there to other, I'll call them vendors, if you will, that were kind of soliciting for ideas. So companies interested in new ideas that were looking to take those ideas and kind of make them theirs. And I ended up getting a hit with a company almost, you know, a month after getting my provisional patent filed and getting onto the website, which was really cool. And, you know, I remember talking to the gal over at Invention Home saying that it doesn't happen very often. You know, some new ideas just don't get, you know, picked up. And the fact that I got picked up right away kind of solidified that my idea was good. But anyway, so with this new company that I had signed on to, basically for them to take it and manufacture it and sell it, market it and what have you. But as that process went along, they were, you know, obviously going to pay me a royalty. And as that process went along, it was a long process, which is, you know, typical of any new invention. You got to kind of go through, you know, all the checks and balances of getting a new product to market. And during that time, they ended up getting another product that was actually the fidget spinner. They had ties with that, and that product took off. So really, they ended up having to put my project on the back burner, and then just time kept passing. And before I knew it, they were not able to keep moving forward with my product. They felt it was not fair to me, obviously, due to, you know, their other needs with other clients. So they ended up giving the product back to me. And that at that time, it was, you know, pretty devastating, but also kind of a new opportunity. At that time, it was like, well, these guys thought my product was legit, so I'm going to try to do this myself. And I started locally, sourcing to local manufacturers. I live in Cedar Falls, Iowa, which is basically sister city to Waterloo, which is very blue-collar town and lots of manufacturing facilities, especially with John Deere in town. And so I started to go to all these other companies and say, hey, you know, what would it take to make my product? How can we make this in a cost-effective manner? Those types of things. And, you know, just kept taking opportunities as they came, if you will, and ended up getting paired with a marketing team and connecting with a sourcing company out of California and working with a public relations director out of Dallas, and also making design modifications with a internet service with a guy out of Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. So it's just kind of been a whirlwind of, you know, pieces that I've been able to put together and kind of bring this product to life. And here we are today, almost a year and a half later, of being dropped from the company that I had through Invention Home. And now we're on Kickstarter, and almost a week and a half in on Kickstarter. And so that's kind of where we're at today. So.
And I'd say that's quite a journey and a lot you've learned along the way. No doubt about that. Today we're joined by Austin McGinnis, the inventor and founder of Flopshot, a new product that combines cornhole and golf. Here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, you mentioned you have a Kickstarter. What are your goals for the Kickstarter? And if you do get funded, what are your long-term goals in that regard?
So the goal for Kickstarter is to obviously get funded and be able to put my product out there for people. And once that happens, ideally solicit to, you know, a fulfillment center that can hold inventory and probably have an e-commerce website that others after the Kickstarter, if they're interested, would like to purchase the product, are able to go to the website and make the purchase and have them, you know, bought and shipped to their house within a few days, and kind of start spreading the good word of Flopshot. I kind of have visions of seeing a Flopshot at every clubhouse in America, obviously, you know, combining cornhole and golf, really kind of marries with any clubhouse, as well as tailgates and barbecues. I just love to see my product at a tailgate that I go to, or any, you know, new course that I go to, and see that product would be a really cool, you know, obviously that's pretty ambitious, but I think the product speaks for itself. It's very well made, and it's got a really good concept. You know, there's the competitors out there have kind of a different concept that doesn't really marry well with, you know, kind of the one hole concept of golf and trying to land a ball near the hole and kind of keep it close to the hole and likely put it into the hole, you know. So there's kind of some specifics about the design of my game. I feel mine's really well designed as well. And I just hope to see it out there more than just, you know, in the hands of my friends and family. I want to get it more on a national level and someday maybe even a global level. So.
Yeah, certainly nothing wrong with that. I like that vision. Now, you've talked about earlier tailgating, and on a personal note, you must be an Iowa Hawkeye fan, or am I wrong on that?
I grew up a Hawkeye fan, and I actually went to Iowa State, so I bleed both black and gold and red and yellow, and also currently teach at the University of Northern Iowa here in Cedar Falls, so I am a UNI Panthers fan as well. So I really don't play favorites to any of them. Obviously, when they're pinned against each other, I usually end up rooting for Iowa State just because that's my my alma mater. But, you know, I'm usually rooting for all of them in their own respective conferences. So
you got to love it. Nothing like college football as well. Now, what advice do you have to other inventors that don't know how to get started but have an idea like you did? Give them some advice in those regards as well.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say, you know, one thing is to do your research. If there was kind of a thing that I would go back and do, you know, I kind of had the idea and I just right away pulled the trigger. I'm very much a risk taker. If you ask my wife that, I mean, anytime there's a chance for taking risk, even financially, I usually am wanting to pull the trigger. But to definitely do, you know, do some due diligence, do some research. If there's, you know, almost like if there's critics out there, try to find those critics and talk to them. Try to get somebody to talk you out of doing your idea. And at the end of the day, if you still feel like it's a great idea, then you know, at least you've exhausted all options of somebody being able to tear it apart. And, you know, with the invention home experience, you know, I wouldn't go back and change that. Ideally, I could have had a good, a good turnout from that experience. And although I did have, you know, somebody, you know, kind of solidify the fact that it was a good idea by wanting to, you know, take it and run with it, and at the end of the day, they weren't able to, you know, I still kind of just picked up the pieces where they left off and tried to take them for myself. And the other piece of advice from that is just don't give up. You know, there's going to be, through your entrepreneurship venture and journey, you're going to come across a lot of things that kind of tear you down, you know, financial obstacles, resource obstacles. Just keep fighting and try to take advantage of every opportunity that comes your way. And eventually you'll come out on top. Just keep up the good fight and don't give up, and make sure you exhaust all options and ideally before you really take the plunge. So that would be my best advice.
Well, we certainly appreciate those parting words and advice, and thank you for joining us here today on the program. So, Austin, the big question is, where can listeners get further details on Flopshot and also have a Flopshot of their own? I assume they could make purchase on the website.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys have any show notes or anything, but I could definitely send you a link to attach to the story, or, yeah, www.playflopshot.com. So playflopshot.com, that's currently our landing page, and will eventually be an e-commerce page if funded. And that would be, you go there and there's a quick link to the Kickstarter page from that landing page. So that would be probably the easiest way to get people to go check out the product and go watch the advertisement video on Kickstarter and hopefully click purchase.
Well, it sounds great, and Austin, it certainly has been our pleasure to have had you. We here at EPN wish you nothing but the best and all the success, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Appreciate you having me on.
And nothing but our pleasure. We've been speaking with Mr. Austin McGinnis, the inventor and founder of Flopshot, a new product that combines cornhole and golf. And for further details, simply visit playflopshot.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com /live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.